Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Introduction, and just so that you can appreciate what you have, I want to say with all sense of humility that we have done a good job researching and prayerfully creating sermon outlines that can help you understand the voice of God. Listen, in every educational program, there are courses that are called selective and there are courses that are called elective. And even amongst compulsory courses, not all courses have the same amount of units. There are some courses, if you fail them, you will more or less have to repeat. And I think that divine leading in the kingdom is a course like that. It is something that you must understand so that you walk circumspectly, so that you will walk not as one who is unwise, knowing the will of God. Come on, say a loud amen if that's you. Say a loud amen if that's you. So I want to beg you. Do whatever you can to plug into the teachings. I'm not a marketer. I hardly talk about books I've written, but just for the sake of understanding the subject, this might be a good time for you to get the book Leading Seeks You, the book I wrote, Leading Seeks You. Be determined. You cannot claim to be seeking the will of God at this phase of your life, and there are materials and resources that you have not sat with. There are some teachings that have been delivered this month that you cannot hear once. You cannot hear them once and claim to be seeking the leading of God in your life. It's not possible. Learn to sit with it. Learn to stay with God and consistently seek his face on subjects like that. Hallelujah. You know, and so today, I think you're going to receive something that is going to really bless you. And I want you to be ready to receive it. You know, the Bible says not to throw pearls before swine. And no child of God is a swine, obviously. But I want you to appreciate the level of research and prayerfulness that has gone into what you're about to receive on a platter. And I want you to receive it from your spirit. Your life must change. You know, sometimes people ask you just for the sake of interview, because everybody likes to interview people they deem successful. And they say, what are the secrets of your life? And has it ever happened to you that someone you consider a hero is asked, what are the secrets of your life? And when they tell you, it seems too simple. Has that happened to you before? And you're just like, that's it? Well, that's it. So, I'm about to share with you things that changed my life. I'm about to share with you my meditation and convictions over the years that made me at a very young age to wake up every morning since the year 2007 absolutely sure what God wanted to do with my life. That since 2007, I have never second-guessed the call of God. I have never woken up one day and thought, should I just give up and get a job? God is my witness. I mean, both in private and in secret. And in open, I beg your pardon. Both in private and in the open. Never. You can be sure. And that's what I want to share with you today. And I want you to open up your heart. You see, there are many reasons people think that they don't hear God. I mean, the most common is some people think that because they sin. And let me just say this so that you don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. If you are in sin, then you should repent. Every child of God should. That's the way to go. But I want you to know that if God should count iniquity, none of us will stand, and therefore none of us will qualify for his voice. Are you getting what I'm saying? And some people think that They don't hear God because they are not spiritual enough. But that's also not true. You see, as I began to research the subject of hearing God's voice, one of the things that struck me, and this must be your preliminary knowledge and understanding when it comes to approaching the subject of hearing God's voice. Never forget this. You must shift your focus from your ability to hear God's voice to God's ability to speak to you. I know that it seems like the same thing, but the emphases are different. Come on, are you with me? Shift your focus from your ability to hear God's voice to God's ability to speak to you. Listen, if God is God, He must be able to communicate with His creature, with His creation. If God is God, He must be able to communicate with His creation. In fact, it is abominable to even conceive in your mind that God will want to communicate with someone He created and not be able to. In fact, in the incarnation, not only do you see Jesus communicate with people, you see God communicate with inanimate objects. What manner of man is this that even the storm and the waves obey Him? So Jesus is in a boat that is about to sink, and He stands up and He speaks to the storm. Peace be still. And immediately there's a great calm, and the people observe that Jesus could talk to the wind and the waves. And they say, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves, the storms obey Him. Jesus spoke to trees. He spoke to a tree and said, from today, no one will eat of you. And the tree obeyed. Jesus can talk to me. Oh my God. I said, Jesus can talk to me. Listen, Jesus talked to trees. Jesus can talk to me. Jesus talked to storms. Jesus can talk to me. So what I'm trying to help you see is how much more mode of teaching. Jesus used this to teach you how that God will gladly give you His Holy Spirit. He said, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father? So I am saying, how much more you? If God could talk to trees, God could talk to wind and waves, how much more you who has a spirit? So listen, the reason this is important is because even if you listen to 1,000 sermons, if in the deepest recesses of your mind you have concluded that this hearing of God or from God business is for men of God and senior prophets, you will never hear from God. And that's why it's an important preliminary understanding to side with the word of God and say, God can talk to me. And if God cannot talk to me, that's something to be worried about, that God will want to do something and cannot. He can. I'm here to tell you that He can. And not just did God talk to trees and talk to the storms. This one shocked me as I studied more than a decade ago. I saw that God of the Bible talked to sinners. He talked to sinners. You know, sometimes you feel you're not good enough, you know, in your Christian devotion, you're sincere, but you don't always tick all the boxes, and that's sincere. Listen, if you don't feel that way, that might be a red flag. You might be approaching reprobacy. But at the same time, if you feel that God has to look at how excellent you have been in your devotion to decide whether to talk to you or not, you don't know the God of the Bible. Listen, the God of the Bible spoke to sinners, and it amazed me that not once, twice, or three times this happened in the Bible, and for some reason, Christians don't get it. So, Abraham goes to a strange country. Because he's afraid that the king of that country is going to kill him and take his wife, he lies that his wife is but his sister. And so Abimelech confidently takes Sarah to his bedroom. But guess what? Eventually, Abimelech discovers that Sarah is actually Abraham's wife. How did Abimelech discover? God told him. You know, If you come with that kind of information today, that they will call that prophetic. That someone lied to you, but you knew by the Spirit the true identity of the person. That's prophetic, isn't it? Listen, Abimelech, a pagan king, was able to uncover a secret that was well delivered, well sold. And so because of that, I'm bringing it home now. Because of that, he didn't marry the wrong person. A pagan king did not marry. They lied to him. He discovered a pagan king. Then you, someone who has the Holy Ghost, someone will pretend to you, lie to you over the years and sell it. And you enter the wrong home. It is not possible. Listen, you know what I'm trying to do in your mind? I am trying to abominate things like this. And so that you know that as a child of God, this is my life. I cannot be lied to. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, God reveals secrets to me. He does. If Abimelech could discover, I have brought the wrong person into my bedroom, and he could correct and amend his ways immediately, Abimelech may have died. Just by that error, he fell sick. Are you aware that Abimelech was the first person to receive a healing in the Bible? Just by bringing the wrong person home, he fell sick instantly. And some person who goes to church regularly will make a wrong step. His life will start going south. He will not understand why. Not me. Not me. Come on, are you with me? That's not the relationship I have with the Spirit of God. I will hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Come on, are you with me? Abimelech was able to get insights, marital guidance, supernaturally. A pagan king, a heathen, a man of the senses. What about Pharaoh? Maybe you're here and you've been saying, oh God, I don't know what to do with my career. I don't know what step to take, what decision to make. And then you read in your Bible that Pharaoh of Egypt slept. And what was going to happen economically for the next 14 years, he picked it. There will be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He picked it. And then you, as a believer, Lord, do I invest here? Do I do this? Do I take this job? You don't know. You cannot not know. That's not your life. Come on, are you with me? That's not your life. Don't forget the meditations we've been having for the past few weeks. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I will not invest in the wrong venture. I will not go to a place I consider green and it's not green. Divine leading, I have embraced it as part of my life. If Pharaoh could tell what was going to happen, he dreamt, and prophetically he knew. He might have needed a child of God to interpret the dream, but the fact that he got the dream is phenomenal enough. Are you with me? 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Then me, I don't know. I'm totally lost as to what to do with my career next year. Not my life. So as I began to read these things, I concluded years ago, going on 2 decades ago, divine leading is easy. And if I'm struggling with it, that's not on God. I saw a murderer hear from God. The first murderer ever, the first human to kill someone, Cain killed his own brother out of jealousy. And after that, at least God was rebuking him, but he still heard it. He was talking to God after shedding blood. And you say, I won't hear God. It's not possible. I read a murder. Cain, after he sinned, he might have been naked, but he heard God. He might have had to explain, I heard your voice and I hid, but he was still talking. Please, are you getting this or not? And so I decide to side with God. And his prophecy about our time I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. And I know that he's not being restrictive, saying only old men will dream dreams. He's explaining all flesh. Do you understand what I'm saying? That no one will be left out, old or young, rich or poor. He said servants or handmaidens. No matter your status in life, no matter your gender, no matter your age, the spirit is at your disposal without discrimination. Meaning, oh my God, meaning you have no excuse not to hear from God, not to be led by his spirit, because that's his plan. He has made the whole church, from the least to the greatest, in the advent of the spirit, to be a company of prophets. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And the implication of that will not be salvation alone. It will be guidance. They will see visions. They will dream dreams. Listen, if you don't receive any of these things, this is the last time. Do you understand what I'm saying? From this service, you open up your spirit to dreams, to visions, to the voice of God. Come on, are you with me? And it has become natural in your life. Say loud amen like you receive it. So just abominate the ordinary. Concerning spirituals, Paul said to the church at Corinth, I will not have you ignorant. Meaning, you cannot remain ignorant. Meaning, if you don't flow in the things of the Spirit, if you don't hear God and things like that, it is not a matter of lack. It is not a matter of insufficiency. You've just been ignorant. You've just chosen to lack interest. And so a lot can be happening. It's just the same way you have natural interests. So for instance, all over the world, Arsenal fans are crying. And some people don't even care. You can't even console people. You have to help them, check on them. It's perilous times. Yeah, they are being extra emotional about it. I mean, what were they expecting? I mean, would they not have been surprised if they won? But, you know, but just learn to be there for people. Wouldn't you have been surprised if I didn't chip that in? I mean, but seriously, some people are not interested in sports at all when others are crying. So the same way you can lack interest in the things of the spirit. Some people are just okay coming to church regularly. Nothing supernatural about their lives. Everything spiritual is mysterious. And so Paul is telling the church at Corinth, he said, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have all you need for guidance. You don't need another spirit. Just become aware. Say, I'm aware. Of who I am in Christ, of what I have in Christ. Amen, somebody. You know, and then someone will be saying, well, Pastor, all of that is nice. I hear you. In fact, I believe you. But why then do I not hear God? The Lord spoke to me sometime around 2009, and it changed my life. And I want you to listen very carefully to this. As I was inquiring about hearing God, how to teach it and how to do it more effectively, the Lord spoke to me and asked me a question. He said, if you see a newborn baby and you call the newborn baby by name, would the baby look at you and say yes? If that happens, you're going to run. Because that's not normal. But you call the baby's name. And the baby is not deaf. The baby is not blind. So, there are babies. Not there are babies. All newborn babies are born hearing but not perceiving. Seeing but not understanding. So, if they were not responding to their name being called, it is not because they were deaf. It is because their ability to interpret what they were hearing needed to mature. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, at some point in their development, their faculties become exercised to understand the things that they had been hearing since they were born. And then the same person begins to respond. And so So the Lord told me, he said, there is absolutely nothing wrong with the ears of my children. Nothing is wrong. He said they need to train their faculties. Those of you who have been following me for a while will probably remember I've been teaching this since 2010. They need to train their faculties to be able to understand what they hear. Because like a newborn baby, you hear. Like a newborn baby, you see. But when a newborn baby begins to identify facial attributes and knows this is daddy, this is mommy, the problem or what changed was not his seeing or his hearing, but was his ability to interpret what he had always seen. And that is what you need to achieve in the realm of the spirit. You need to train yourself to interpret. You see, the spirit realm is not science. Now, if I speak, everybody will hear me. As long as you are in this room. But in the realm of the spirit, it's not like that. I can prove to you, not I can, I will prove to you that even if God should speak in an audible, distinct voice, if God should speak now, it is not guaranteed that everybody here will hear. Let me quickly give you two examples of this to prove it to you. Look at John chapter 12, for verse 27. You know, so Jesus is speaking, John 12 from verse 27. He's saying, oh my God, my soul is troubled. Father, save me from this hour. He says, but for this cause I am coming to the world. And verse 28, he said something very significant. He says, Father, glorify your name. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, there was a voice from heaven. And what did the voice say? It says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God literally shouted from heaven. But look at the next verse, verse 29. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said it thundered. Listen, and that in itself is remarkable. They must have thought it was some remarkable coincidence. Just imagine someone is talking out there. A man of God is talking out there. And he lifts his voice to the heavens and said something. And even if it was not raining, immediately after he said it, thunder struck. Man, that's a sign. You'll be like, powerful man of God. Wow. Did you see what happened? You know, and that will be sign enough for some people, but that's not all that happened. The thunder accompanied the voice. The thunder wrapped itself around the voice. Unfortunately, some people heard only the thunder. Come on, are you with me? Some other people said an angel spoke to him. That's in verse. Some who stood by heard it, said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Two levels of discernment, same experience. God spoke. Some heard thunder. Has it happened in a service before? The word of God is going on. And all of a sudden, like lightning, the voice of the Lord comes to you. It might be something the pastor said or one scripture that was quoted, and it just hit you. Maybe you fell to the ground and started crying, or you knelt, or you were just on your seat vibrating with your inner, you know, the deep recesses of your being vibrating and responding to the word of God. And as you are there, maybe the person by your side is looking like, what's wrong with this one? Because all they are hearing is maybe the person in the back up singing off. Some are hearing flat keys. Some are hearing different things, but not in this church because, our choir comes correct, isn't it? Hallelujah. You know, but some people, they're just observing lying vanities. That's all they are saying. Some might be looking at the light. Looking at the screen. And someone by your side is on the ground, smitten by the presence of God. Such is the kingdom of God. So it is no longer about how audible the voice is. For some reason, and I will tell you the reason, some people don't just have the capacity to discern it as they should. The problem, like I said, is not their hearing. It's not their seeing. In fact, many of you might have heard or seen and not known. I'll give you another example. Paul is on his way to go and arrest all the believers in Damascus. And all of a sudden, a bright light appears in front of him. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 22 that everybody with him saw the lights. And this is not Nigeria. It wasn't as if Nepal suddenly did their thing. They are right outside, no electricity. But it just becomes extraordinarily bright with blinding light. The light is bright enough to knock Saul off his horse. He loses his sight instantly, you know, and all of that is happening. They all see the light. And the people around him hear noises. But what was happening was more than a noise. So if you reconcile the Bible's account in Acts chapter 9, verse 7 and Acts chapter 22, verse 9, the same story is told twice. You know, so the people around him heard the noise or the voice of someone talking to him, but it wasn't intelligible. They couldn't tell what was said. They knew he was talking to someone. They couldn't tell. They were right there. But the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 22, verse 9, it says, they did not hear the voice of him that spoke to me. They knew he was talking to someone, but they couldn't. It wasn't intelligible to them. So it is therefore not about hearing, it is about making sense of what you hear. Making sense of what you hear. And that, my friends, is where spiritual maturity comes in. Because like Eli had to explain to Samuel, some of you need some encounters that you have had repeatedly explained to you. You didn't know it was the Lord. You've heard my personal story, right? One night, I think it was 2010, I was alone in the room. No light, no surprise. I was in Lagos. And of all times in the day, and of all places, it was where I was sitting quiet and alone and in the dark, God chose to speak to me. I mean, God had been speaking to me before, but this time around, the way you are hearing my voice now, you know, when someone calls your name, you turn. I turned because I could tell where the voice was coming from. I might not have told you this before, but, you know, my dad's name is also Emmanuel. So at that time in the house, people fondly call me Junior. Don't dare that. But from a corner of the room, I heard, Junior. I turned. I responded. I called a relative who was staying with us. I said, stop playing. Because I thought someone was hiding somewhere because when I didn't see anybody. And then I heard the name again. Junior. I turned. I called my sister. I said, you must stop playing. What is that? What are you doing? When I heard the name the third time, I ran away. And, you know, I was still staying with my mom at the time, you know, my parents. So I ran to my mom and said, that room is very scary. A voice called me three times. And my mom said, hey, thank God. And listen, if God didn't tell me he was the one, I would never have known. So 1 or 2 years after, I'm a little more mature in the things of God. Sorry, that story happened earlier. But By 2010, I was already, of course. So, much later, I'm on my floor in my bedroom praying, God, because I read one book and the book said you need to hear the audible voice of God. I'm saying, God, speak to me audibly. And immediately, in a still small voice, the Lord said, what of the day I called you 3 times and you were rebuking me? I thought it was Satan. Because in all the Nollywood movies, it's Satan that calls you in the night. I had not read the text that says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the... At least the metaphors might have given me a clue. I was like, what? I stopped praying. I was like, God, that was you? I felt embarrassed. In the name of Jesus, you know? Jesus. And I ran away from Jesus. And so the Bible gives us proof that it is possible. God calls you. You stand up, you walk away. You go to Eli. Did you call me? It is possible. Just the fact that you heard it. Listen, so what I'm telling you in essence is this. Stop thinking about the voice of God from a natural, carnal standpoint. Because if you don't develop your spirit, even if you hear, it won't benefit you. You will stand up, you will go elsewhere. You'll be looking for the voice. It is either you hear thundering instead of an intelligible voice, or even if the voice is intelligent to you, you understand that your name is being called, you'll be looking, who is calling you? You will not still know. Because it is only by the Spirit. Come on, are you with me? God's voice can be discerned not by natural hearing. When we say hearing, even that is metaphoric. Because you don't hear with your natural ears. Come on, are you with me? With your spirit. And even if the manifestation can be audible, if you don't train your spirit, you will not discern it. You will walk away. Who is that? Who is calling me? You will still be lost. So, from a natural standpoint, you think that if God speaks to you audibly, then you will know for sure that you are led. It doesn't work that way. An immature spirit is an immature spirit, no matter the medium of communication. If God should shout from the sky, some people will hear thunder. Please, is that clear? So, why is the voice of God unintelligible to some people? Please never forget what I'm about to share with you. And I doubt you might have heard it this way before. Let me calm down. Come. Now, sometimes you are in a place that is very loud. And when you're worried that the sound can hurt your ears, what do you do? No, you don't have control of the volume. What do? You move away or what? Cover your ears or what? Instead of putting your hands on your ears, if it's awkward, is there some technology you can use? AirPods, right? Or headset, preferably. Some people have headsets on in the spirit. I'm telling you. Some people have headsets on. And what I'm telling you works both ways. There is something that can be on a person that affects the efficacy of his prayers to the Lord and affects the efficacy of the voice of God to him. For instance, when it comes to prayers, the Bible says that even if you speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it says your tongues will be like sounding brass and clashing cymbal, meaning what in and of itself is intelligence from your spirit to the Lord, and God will understand. There is something that it can be filtered through. Your lack of love in your heart will make it noise in the realm of the spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So now you are doing everything right. If you hear the tongues, you can't fault it. All the consonants are there. Crow, ra, ru, ra. You get what I'm saying? And it sounds right and perfect. And from your spirit, you are bringing out information that is sincere, but it is filtered in such a way that the effect, the Bible says you can pray and miss. You can pray and miss. Filtered through hate. There is a way the disposition of your heart will make your prayer a waste of time. The Bible says that your prayers be not hindered. For instance, when you nurse unforgiveness in your heart, your prayers can be hindered. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Now, the same thing happens. There is an earplug you can put. When God speaks to you, by the time it gets to you, you will hear noise. And let me show you what that earplug is. Thank you very much. Look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." You see, almost every time you hear about the leading of the Spirit, you learn only about the leading of the Spirit. Meanwhile, there are two leadings. There is another leading you must be aware of. It is not the leading of God. It is the leading of the flesh. But if you don't keep the flesh at bay, you will not hear from God. And so you need to know it's not just you and God. There is a third party. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at verse 17 very quickly. He says, "For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Listen, he's talking about leading, doing the things that you would. So he's saying the things that you eventually do are a result of which force gains preeminence, either the spirit or the flesh. So listen, he says the flesh is warring against the spirit against the flesh, meaning when the spirit wants to tell you to pray, but your flesh likes sleep. That love for sleep can make you not to hear the spirit. Because you love sleep more. Are you with me? So, if your flesh is strengthened, it will reduce the voice of the spirit. You have earplugs on. If you like money, it will be hard for God to tell you that that rich guy is not your husband. Have you seen that video meme? "God, if this is the relationship is not for me, show me a sign." And someone hits her on the head. Bam! That was supposed to be the sign. Say, "God, where is the sign?" "With frying pan, oh." Bam! "God, I guess you won't show me any sign." Because there is a disposition of the heart that dulls your spiritual hearing. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you have trained your natural eyes, just like Samuel wanted to anoint a king. By the time he saw Eliab, his chest, he said, "This must be the king." And God was training him to judge and be led by the Spirit. He said, "Men look at the outward. I look at the heart." A man who has not learned that way will choose wife only by physical features and will be in trouble. And God will be leading him. "That's not the person, no." But if you are looking for all the things that came to my mind. Please, are you getting what I'm... You get what I'm saying?
Yes,
so, I'm telling you, so if you feed your flesh so much, you are reducing the voice of your spirit. You are. You are. Can I tell you something? Never forget this. This is why fasting works. It is not because God likes rituals. And if you don't do this, do this, do this, he won't speak to you. No. It was never about God. It was about you. Because sometimes the leading had already been released in the spirit. You didn't pick it. So fasting puts your flesh in its place and opens your spirit to discern a leading that was already released. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm trying my best to explain and simplify this. And so, the moment you position your spirit well, by putting the flesh, and that's why as a Christian, you see, the Bible says, if you sow in the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. You can't spend 10 hours a day. You binge watch series from beginning to end. What you are supposed to, series that took 2 years to make, you finished in 2 days. Then you want to hear God. How? You have affected your receptiveness. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
then to top it up, you don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You are dulling your senses. You are dulling your senses. So the problem is not your ear. You have clogged it. You have clogged your hearing. There's too much trash around. So as you shed off all of that, your accuracy will improve. And that's where fasting comes in. That's where special seasons of prayer come in. It is not because God is trying to be difficult. It's your flesh. Your flesh is the problem. Why am I spending time on this? It's because if you get this one right, there are some people... When God wants to speak to them, I'm sorry to say, I'm without sense of humility. If God wants to speak to me, there are so many ways he can choose. So many. God can, there are at least 100 ways God can speak to you. If you don't discern the voice of God, this is usually the problem. When you have trained your spirit to be in tune with God, then you will realize God doesn't have to speak to talk to you. Jesus. God doesn't have to speak to do what? He doesn't. In fact, audible voice, even your greatest renowned prophets, some of them hear audible voice maybe once, 3 times in their entire lifetime. If you hear audible voice all the time, it might be a sign you need to repent. Oh, that's the thing. A lot of people don't know. They think it's an achievement. That God, if God has to put up a show to talk to you, all the time, it's a problem. Now, for instance, when God wanted to talk to Moses the first time, he had to set a bush on fire. And some of you read that and you think that's dimensions. That's what I'm saying. God, all this whispering, you are whispering. That's why I don't get it. Set my TV on fire. Let something, put my cushion on fire. Let me know that you are talking to me. Did your word not say you are a consuming? Burn my certificate, have you? Those are the realms. But I want you to see, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4. Everybody read verse 4 together, 1, 2, go.
So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So listen, because he did not know the voice of God, God had to put up a show to get his attention. So, and God caught his attention. Moses said, what is going on? This bush is on fire, but it's not burning. I want to come closer to see. Then the Bible says, when God saw, he came closer, God then called his name. Because if God had called his name, he would not have heard it. And so God had to put up a show. Guess what? From that day, God did not need a burning bush to talk to Moses again. The reason this is important is because some of you have despised the smaller, simpler means that God has used to speak to you. You think that the people he shows visions, you know, by the time some people tell you encounters, the Holy Ghost visited me. Day before yesterday, it was God the Father. Someone said the difference is their hairstyle. True story, yo. Someone said the difference is their hairstyle. The Holy Ghost has white hair. On the street, there's a name for stuff like that. You call it Lamba. That's what. See, the Holy Ghost came. He touched my head, you know, and said all of that. Some of you, God has called you to ministry, but when you hear other people's call, when you hear call, an angel appeared, gave me a scroll, say, eat. When I finished eating, he gave me honey, say, drink. Then he said, run, 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 the journey is far, run. You know? Then you, that God just said, go, go into all the world. You're now feeling, you know, it's the same way with engagement. You know, it's possible you were okay with how your husband proposed until you watch video on YouTube. You see people, they jump from a helicopter. We hold the holding paper, I love you. Some, the relationship is this point. It's this point. They jump from a helicopter like this. Parachute, pah, I love you. You were throwing confetti. It's this point. Then your husband that just knelt down. Gave you simple ring. I love you, talk your own. He has not, he's still faithful, though. Maybe I'm saying that because my engagement was. I just called PK daddy. Are you going to the island? Help me buy a ring. So, PK was now researching. Engagement techniques, we'll do this, we'll do this. When Nan called me in the afternoon, I know how we do it. I say, I've done it all. He's a pastor. Both of us were wearing NYC uniform. NYC. I just said, will you do Abby, you know, do. I'm just playing, use your helicopter. Hallelujah. But it does not have to be spectacular to be supernatural. And that's why in the new covenant, the most predominant ways God speaks is through an inward witness or a still small voice. How can God be in you and have to shout from outside? Oh God, it didn't hit you. How dare you think that a person who hears an audible voice has a more intimate relationship with God than you who got a nudge from inside? A nudge. Never despise a nudge. Where Paul says, I perceive. Do you know what that is? I perceive. Or you just know, a knowing, a supernatural knowing. Don't despise that. And when you understand that, you will now understand that there are many other ways God speaks to you. you might not have paid attention to. Oh my God, if you've been following my teaching on divine leading, you know what I'm about to say, but pay attention to this, and this is going to bless you. Are you with me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
When God wants to anoint David as king, how is God going to make David king? He's not going to take him to the palace and say, Saul, stand up, please stand up. Say, hey, leave that throne. You are no more the king. Well, yeah, you sit here. This is the new king. God doesn't do that. What God does, thank you, Tommy. What God does is he sends a prophet. The prophet anoints David and goes home. That's all. What does the anointing do? The anointing stirs up in David a supernatural passion so that when he sees Goliath bragging, other people heard Goliath bragging and did nothing, but the anointing will not allow him to look away. You know what the Bible says? Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Listen, a lot of people don't understand God. Jesus. Because God is spirit, he doesn't have to use his voice to advise you. He can command you. And the command of God will look original. It will look as if you are responding by your passion, but the passion is supernatural. God didn't tell David to kill Goliath. He didn't tell David, this is your chance. You know, I told you you'll be king. This is your chance. No, for my hand. God didn't do that. When David saw Goliath, the anointing welled up in him. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He just couldn't take it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you very much. So he leads. Look at that text. It is God. It is God. Put it up. It is God. That's discernment. Discernment 101. If you did not know that it is God, he's telling you it is God. You thought it was just passion, but it is God. And many people, because they don't know that it is God, they either ignore the passion or they respond to the passion in the flesh. There's a reason Moses saw the Egyptian treat the Israelite wrong and he fought the guy and killed him. He responded in the flesh, but that passion was a pointer to his destiny. Even before the burning bush, he couldn't take it. Are you getting it?
Yes,
there was a weird reason he was in the wilderness in the first place to see the burning bush. Because he ran away. Why did he run? Because of his passion. He had killed someone. A very simple thing I have to clarify. How then do I know if this is ordinary passion or supernatural passion? The simple answer is what happens when you pray. If it is carnal passion, because everybody is doing it, as you pray, it will reduce. If it is from God, as you pray, it will get hotter. Have you ever been praying and an idea was swelling up? It was getting stronger until you began to roar. Since I'm going to... Hi, God, I know what I'm saying. I like to think I'm generally a calm and collected person. But when the anointing came on me and I knew that God was going to send me to preach the gospel, false doctrine began to irritate me. I was watching someone on the TV. It was clear, this one is in this thing for money. He's making merchandise of God's people. And I got up and began to throw things around. It's like that has happened only twice in my life. Throwing things around and screaming. Every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. I will plant churches around the world. As an undergraduate, I didn't, no venue, no assistant. No, I was the anointing. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? There's a reason. You see, my God. I'll talk on the voice of God and round off. Listen. There are different ways God leads. All of them are powerful. You can perceive from your spirit. That's what they call an inward witness. You can hear a still small voice. You can hear an audible voice. But when it comes to the voice of God is not the voice of man. A lot of people don't know what the voice of God is. You can perceive and not be sure. You can have a dream and not be sure if it's God or not. You can't hear God's voice and be unsure. You cannot. You cannot. When it comes to prophetic training in the prophetic, God can call Samuel, and Samuel does not know his God. He's walking away. But you will not doubt that you heard a voice. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You can't hear God's voice and say, hey, was it my mind? You don't understand. If you want to know God's voice, just read the first page of your Bible. And there you will know that the voice of God is not informative. It is creative. It is not like, oh, Jesus. It is not like the voice of a man. If a man tells you something, he's trying to inform you. The voice of God carries performing power. It imparts ability to perform. It is never an advice. It's an impartation. God said, let there be light. And there was. Listen, he wasn't calling a meeting. So how do we set up pole? Where do we get wire? Do you understand what it is?
Yes,
God said, let there be. And there was. So when God speaks to you and says, I am giving you a call, it will carry you. It will jack you. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. There's a reason. You see, Spurgeon, I was reading his materials and I thought he was strict years ago. But now I understand. If a man of God comes to Spurgeon or anyone and says, how do I know I'm called? He will say, you are not called. If you doubt, you are not. Because there are dimensions of call. Look at this. He says, then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. You see, the word of God carries the Spirit of God. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The words that I speak to you are what? Spirit. When God gives you an instruction, the Spirit enters you. He says, it entered me when he spoke to me and did what? Set me on my feet. Has God spoken? Oh my God, maybe in a service and the word of God hit you. You didn't know when you jumped up. Has that happened to you before? And then it feels as if you don't do it now, it comes with a sense of urgency and boldness. Some of you know what I'm saying. One of the first times this happened to me, I was going somewhere. I was wearing a suit. God said, give this suit. I couldn't sleep. It was as if every passing second that suit was with me was an abomination. Some of you know what I'm saying. Like, the same thing you cherish, if God says give, you will jack it like this. You don't understand what happened to Abraham. He just heard the song. Let's go. You don't get. You go carry. Removed it. I couldn't even dry clean. I apologize to the person that see. Please dry clean it. But I entered the bike straight to the person. Went home, changed, entered the bike, dropped it. The Spirit, and he says, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. He said, the words I speak to you, spirit and listen, some of you saw my throwback picture. I've been pastor for a long time. The moment the Lord spoke to me, bam! I ceased to see myself doing anything else with my life. What? God. He described the word of the Lord as a hammer. So it would Hey, it will shatter doubts. Come on, are you with me? So, be open to his leading. Some of you, it is by divine coincidence, like Joseph. Joseph dreamt, but he didn't follow his dreams. He followed God. There was nothing he did actively to make the dream come to pass. He just followed God, and at the end of the day, he was there. Don't follow your dreams, follow God. So that is a lesson on its own, on divine coincidence. There is divine passions like David and Moses. But then there is the voice of the Lord. I sense there's few people here. Oh, Jesus. The word of the Lord is about to set you on your feet. How do you know it's the voice of the Lord? Three simple ways. Number one, boldness. In our kingdom, boldness is not psychological. You don't hype yourself. Stand in front of the mirror. You can't do it. You are unstoppable. The Bible says they were filled with the Spirit and with boldness. That the moment the Spirit enters you, bam! At 19:20, I already could preach on any platform in the world. Listen, I'm not saying I wouldn't have considered it a privilege, but my knees will not buckle. I knew already God had given me a voice to the nations. Boldness. Boldness comes with a sense of urgency. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where, oh my God. Mind you, there are smaller dimensions of the call where God still needs to persuade you. There are examples of that. I'm speaking specifically about the voice of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you just know, this is God. You check, the fear is gone. Let's do it. This one I'm about to say is rated 25. I told my 2 months to our wedding, I was in my office working. The Lord spoke to me, resign now. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Resign now. Spoke to her, spoke to one of the mentors. I drew up paper. Didn't look back. My allowance then was a whooping 2.5 weekly. This celebration church. That's why I've told you, if God is blessing me now, you talk to my angel can slap you. Because you don't know where we are coming from. Angel will nod you. If angel should nod you. Hallelujah. But the voice of no doubt, no fear. Hallelujah. Come on, I said glory to God. So number one. Number two, it won't fade. It won't fade. If it is a carnal passion, after 2 days. But if it's the voice of the Lord, you have to understand, Jesus' assignment was supposed to start when he was 30. He had 30 years to change his mind. He did not. Are you getting that?
Yes, sir.
So, 30 years! It wasn't time he was preparing, but 30 years after, the zeal of the Lord's house had consumed. God! You see, and that's an aspect of the supernatural passion. It's called the zeal of the Lord. That's what will make you carry cane. Like Jesus. Eh? It won't fade. As you pray, it will get hotter and hotter and hotter. Even if you are not obeying it, you will know you are in disobedience. You will know. Some of you are listening to me, you know you are in disobedience now. And of course, the third is action. It's God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. It is God. It's God. When the zeal for the Lord's house consumes you, you don't need motivation. You don't need people to remind you, don't you know who you are? No. No. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.